Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 208. The title for this one's going to be called Graveyard 100 2015 Recap. The Graveyard 100 is an ultramarathon held down in the Outer Banks. Last several years, since its inception, it's always been held the weekend where the clocks spring forward. This year it was March 7th into March 8th, and I was down there working the finish line again for the third year in a row. The first year, I ran the 100K of this race. They don't have that event anymore. Brandon Wilson is the race director. It's an outstanding event, and we'll talk all about that during this episode of the show. But first thing I want to do is talk a little bit about my running streak. I think I mentioned this some in episode 207. Not sure. I just can't remember because it's been, I think, a month since I put out the last show. And I would really love to increase the frequency of the podcast. It's just difficult at times. And really the biggest problem is the English Premier League soccer. I tend to watch a lot of soccer instead of running. And I did my running streak. It ended on January 31st. I ran for 31 days in a row, and I'm definitely in the relaxed, fit style of running right now. I haven't run in probably 2 weeks by choice. Last weekend, I bagged the group run, and another thing that's been going on right now is the Ashland Variety Show. It's a biannual show that's just kind of a talent show. It's not a contest. It's choreographed, and people rehearse, together, and there's different acts in the show. I work backstage, and that has really picked up over the last 2 weeks with rehearsals and just putting it all together. My daughter's in the show, and that's coming up at the end of next week. So next week is really going to be the big push. So right now it's the week of, what is today? Today is March 14th, so it's the week of March 16th. March 15th, and that is the week of the show. So there'll be a lot of big push here at the end to put it all together, and that's held here in the center of the universe in Ashland, Virginia. It's been going on for a long time, and it's every other year, and it's a lot of fun. I've been involved with it before. It's also put on by the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. It's a huge fundraiser, and I'm still on the board over there. That's the same group that puts on the Ashland Railroad Run, and I'm rotating off the board this year after finishing my second term, which is, and each term is 3 years, so I've been on the board for the last 6 years. But I wanted to talk a little bit about running streaks just for a few minutes, and because I always said that I was going to stop the running streak when it kind of got in the way of stuff. What happened was the Super Bowl, but I think I mentioned that in the last show, so I'm not going to rehash that. But I pulled a page out of, I think this is Runner's World. Pretty sure this is a magazine I'm looking at these days. I get hand-me-down issues from my dad. I'm just going to share a few of these. The question is, what's the craziest thing you've done to keep up a run streak? One guy said, ran 200 plus laps in my 20-foot long living room. Okay, that's interesting. I ran a mile 15 minutes after getting home from getting my wisdom teeth pulled. That's another person. Ran a mile in a parking lot near the highway at 11:30 p.m. up a row, down a row. I hit the treadmill at 11:54 in pajama pants. At a restaurant, I ordered my food and then ran my mile while we waited for it. So I guess that person has a 1 mile minimum. I had a 2 mile minimum for my 31-day streak. I ran up and down an empty airport terminal. During a storm, I put on my GPS watch and ran 125 times up and down our hallway to get my mile in, and then ran in the 29-degree wind chill. So one of those looks like, and we'll go ahead and put that in the recycling since I don't need that anymore. Looks like some of these people have a 1 mile minimum, and I wonder if I had switched to a 1 mile minimum, would I have been able to go farther than the 31 days? Because, you know, it only takes a few minutes to run a mile, and you hardly even really get a sweat. So that's just some food for thought. I was very just kind of curious to know. I did have a good time with the running streak, and being that I've kind of committed now to the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which is held in the last, it's the weekend before Labor Day generally, usually the hottest day of the year, it seems, at least the last several years. I'm going to be training for that, and I guess I better start. I guess I got to get more serious next month, so I'm probably going to just start slow, and I'm hoping that'll propel me into running the Richmond Marathon in the fall. All right, so we saw, I think I might have said something about Dirty Dancing in the last show. I'm not sure. Let me check to see when I put that show out. I put it out February 11th. Okay, so Valentine's Day hadn't happened yet. And I'm going to warn you, if you're a female, you're going to think this is my comments are probably sexist and maybe a little obscene. But I'm going to say it anyway just because it wasn't my comment. It was a comment that I heard from somebody when I went to see this movie. You've heard me talk about the Ashland Movie Theater has opened back up again. And it's really cool to see the big neon lights. One of these days I'm going to get a picture and put that up on the site at ashlanddave.podbean.com so you can see what the movie theater looks like. It's a single screen movie theater. It's an old theater. The town of Ashland got a $500,000 grant to renovate the theater. It's just going to be an outstanding thing. I'm a volunteer over there, and it's really exciting because they had Dirty Dancing on Valentine's Day, which was on a Saturday night this year. And I went with my my wife. We met up with some friends there, and you know, you could buy beer in the lobby and hang out. So we went early to kind of have a couple beers before the movie. And so I saw Dirty Dancing for the first time. I had never seen it before, and it turns out I really did like it. And then, especially, you know, the quote, "Nobody puts baby in a corner." And of course, we've been repeating that here at the house, even though my daughter doesn't really know what it means. She's been repeating it. Well, so we were walking out of the theater, and I can't say the guy's name because if anybody local listens to the podcast, they'll probably give him the business about this. But I didn't know it was rated R until we were leaving the theater, and then I heard a guy say to his wife that, you know, for rated R, we should have at least gotten to see baby's boobs. So, I personally thought that was funny. Other people out there might think that wasn't funny. It's my podcast, so I get to make the jokes. And so that's that. If you haven't seen Dirty Dancing, it's a pretty good movie. Be kind of a far cry to see it out on the big screen, though, because it's definitely not the first-run movie. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. Garmin. My Garmin's dead. Finally, it was a used Garmin I got, I think, from eBay or something, and it lasted a while, and then it just quit working. It quit charging. It wouldn't do anything. And so what I decided to do was to see I needed to get a new one, and I was making this excuse where I can't run if I don't have a Garmin. Well, I found one online for $35. It's the one without the heart rate monitor, and when I got it sent to me, it was only $35. It came right away. It looked like it was brand new. And matter of fact, the person that sent it had either never set it up or had cleared out the memory and the profile, cleared out the memory of the runs. And it was, you know, what a bargain, $35. So I got to get out there and test it. I have gone out to make sure it hooks up to satellites. I just haven't run with it yet. So I can't believe, you know, the bargain I got for $35, and it looks like it's brand new. Speaking of deleting the history on a Garmin, I got to tell you a quick story. Several years ago, Ashland Tom ran the Mountain Masochist 50-mile trail run. And that's held here in Virginia, and I was kind of doing an amateur documentary of him doing that race. And he was running with, at that point, Rodney was running with them. And at one point, when they came through one of the aid stations, his Garmin was beeping. And what had happened was the memory had filled up. The history had filled up, and so it was beeping to remind him to delete the history. But if you had stopped and deleted the history, you'll also delete, I think, your current run or something. I'm not really sure. Maybe you can delete. I think you can delete, like, just a month or a week. But he ran the rest of the race with his Garmin beeping, and I remember that's in the video. I just remember it was something that was kind of just something that came to mind as I was telling the story. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Graveyard 100. Graveyard 100 is an ultra marathon that starts in Corolla, North Carolina, actually north of the pavement in the sand. It starts in the sand and goes 102.5 miles to the south and ends in Hatteras, which is where the ferries are for Ocracoke Island. And it's all on Route 12, which is all in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And in my opinion, it's just a great venue for a race. It's in its fifth year. This was the fifth year. The first year was, 4th year. I'm sorry. The first year was 2012. That's the year I ran it, the 100K. Now it's just 100 miles. They don't have 100K. This year, 18 states and 5 countries were represented. The race starts on Saturday at 5 a.m., and then 30 hours later is the cutoff. And what that does, the reason for the 5 a.m. start is because 30 hours later is actually noon on Sunday because of the time change for daylight savings time. This year, the starting temperature was 21 degrees, which is 11 degrees below freezing. 90 people started. I think he had 120, registered, so he had a lot of no-shows. And then only 66 finished, and that's a 27%, which is not which is normal for an ultramarathon. The winner was Marco Bonfiglio from Italy, and he's 37 years old, relative unknown in the United States. He ran the Rocky Raccoon ultramarathon. Let's see, ran that on January 31st, and he came in second. He ran that 13 hours, 57 minutes, 30 seconds. That's a 100-mile trail race in Texas, I think. I don't know a whole lot about that. Ian Sharman was the winner of that with 13 hours, 32 minutes. So then he went back to Italy, and then he came back and ran the graveyard. And I'm going to tell you the finishing time here in a second, and you're going to your jaw's going to drop pretty much if you know. He ran 13 hours, 1 minute, and 52 seconds, and came in first place. Now, what I want to do is go into a pace calculator online here. Just bear with me. We're going to put that time in there. And I think it's a 7-minute mile, if I'm not mistaken. So what we're going to do is we're going to go 100 miles, even though it's 100 and whatever. And he ran 13:01:52. And we're going to calculate the – oh, that was the pace. Whoops. Bear with me. I know you have some of y'all out there saying, what's Dave doing? 13:01:52. So now we're going to calculate the pace. That's a 7:49 pace. I mean, that is just unbelievable average. So he came in first, and true gentleman, Valmir Nunez, who I met at the – of course, he's run this race every year. It's been out down the Outer Banks, and he won it last year. And his time of 14 hours and 20 minutes would have set a new course record had – Marco Bonfiglio not come in an hour and 19 minutes ahead of that. I mean, just completely unbelievable. World record for 100 miles. Let's see what it is. I think it's 12:32. That's what somebody told me while I was down there. So somebody ran it in less than 12 hours. I'm not really sure. It looks like can't really tell right now. I can't really tell exactly what the what it is. It looks like could be close to, somebody told me it was 12 hours 32 minutes. Trying to get a link here to do it while I'm talking, but it's kind of hard to type and talk at the same time. But it looks like some people have come real close to doing that before, and just a 13 hours 1 minute time is just amazing. It really is. Third place was 16 hours 42 minutes. So as you can see, the first two people who are world-class runners. Now Marco, like I said, relatively unknown in the United States, but he's a Spartathlon runner over in Europe, and I'm a little ignorant to exactly what that is. I just didn't have time to look that up before I started recording the show. But Valmir is a world elite runner. He runs ultramarathons all over the world, and I did, like I said, I met him last November when I did the Croatan 24. Got him a picture taken with him. I remember I put that out on the website at ashanddave.podbean.com. And I got absolutely no feedback from anybody on how cool that picture was. That's all right. Now, this guy Marco was sponsored by Newton, if I'm not mistaken. And another elite runner that was at the race who was a DNF, Brenda Carawan, she brought him to the race and was able to get him entered. And he just literally ran away with it. I mean, it's just incredible. So what my responsibility was at the race, and I'm going to talk about another runner in the race here in a few minutes, Jim Burton, who I met down there, and he's a listener of the podcast, and was a complete surprise, and it kind of threw me, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. My responsibility is really to manage the finish line, and not the, you know, the overall leader, because the race director is at the finish line, and but he sometimes has to leave and run up to the finish line headquarters area, which is at the motel that's about a quarter mile away. Some things come up where he has to get on the phone. Of course, he needs to take a nap, because what we do is I met him down there around 3:30 on Saturday afternoon, and we unload the trailer, set up a large tent to get us out of the weather, set up the inflatable thing that says finish, you know, set up the race clock, put out, you know, the finish chute and all that. And this stuff has kind of grown. The first year was just literally an F parked on, painted on the pavement. But now he's jazzed it up a little bit. And the main thing is just to keep the generators running for electricity, take care of the runners when they finish, get them back to the finishing area so they can recover, and take care of any immediate needs they have at the end. I took a lot of pictures of people at the finish line with their support, and just kind of, you know, catch them at the finish. You know, when they're finishing 100 miles, the reward of seeing these people accomplish this goal is just major. Now, the people that finish early, this is something that, you know, they've done repeatedly, and I will admit it's not as exciting, although it's cool to see these elite runners finish. For me, as a, you know, middle of the pack, back of the pack type, not for 100 miles because I haven't tried that yet, although I might one day. I'm pretty sure I'll probably try it one day. And this very well would be the event I would try it at. Anyway, it's so cool to see the people come in, you know, over the course of the night and finishing in the middle of the night, and then seeing the people that are out there supporting them at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, or whatever. And then people keep coming in later. And, you know, they come in all the way up till almost noon the next day. I mean, everybody approaches this distance differently. The folks that come in under 24 hours get a – no, he's got it differentiated between crude and solo. The people that are solo all the way down and just have aid from their own drop bags and then the race-provided aid stations, they get a two-tone silver and gold buckle, which is really cool looking the way it's designed. And then the crude people get a gold belt buckle, which is cool. It's its own right. Don't get me wrong. But the two-tone one is just a little bit more fancy, and that's for the people that do it solo. Or you can do it crude. And so after we get the finish line set up, it's really just a waiting game of waiting for the first runner. And it's, of course, it's very exciting when you see him coming. And then you have, you know, some more wait. So we had the first guy come in. The race started at 5 in the morning, and so he came in just a minute or two after 6 p.m. The next one was coming in around 7:20 that evening, and then the next one didn't come in until I think it was 9:42 that night, and that was Michael Kiesel out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. He was a solo runner, age 38. And when you look down the ages of these folks, you know, 37, 50, 38, 41, 35, 44, 39, 41, 52, 40, 43. I don't see any. I see a 27-year-old, and I think that's about it. Another 27-year-old. Don't see too many really young folks doing these type of events. And it's just it's a real good time. It's a long drive, I will say. Once it's 3 hours to Nag's Head. Then usually another hour and a half to 2 hours to get down to Hatteras because of the speed zones that go drop down to 35 and 25 through some of the fishing villages. And but anyway, I just really enjoy it. I'll probably do it again next year. And of course, Brandon has offered me a complimentary entry fee to any of his events. And his company is Race NC. It's like RAC. And then capital ENC for Eastern North Carolina. So it's Race NC is the name of the company. He's got a bunch of events. And I'm thinking about the Croatan 24 again. I don't know if I'd do it this year or if I could put off that complimentary entry until next year. I don't know. I'd like to do, you know, 50 miles again, but it sure was a lot of work getting up to that point. And in some ways, I still feel some of the effects from the last training session. I'm not really sure what. You know, I got some need. I think I just need to strengthen my quads through weight training as opposed to running, because I think that's the issue. So let's talk about Jim Burton a little bit. Jim Burton, I had listened to the podcast, and I did not know he was running this event. Jim, if you sent me an email and told me that, I don't remember getting it. I'm pretty sure I would have remembered that. But I was carting people to the finish area, and what I'd do is I'd just get them in the van or get them in Brandon's truck. It's just there's a couple different vehicles that we're using, and it's about a quarter mile to the finish area. And these are the solo runners that we're driving over there. Most people that have their support down there, I'm talking about their vehicle support, their spectator support, they're generally taking care of their runner. But Jim was a solo runner, and he came in 15th place out of everybody, and just you know, did awesome. I mean, I'm really impressed. He's age 52, and he ran 21 hours, 18 minutes. And so we're back in the hotel room where everybody's kind of gathered, and I'm walking people in, and I walked in there, and then Heather, Brandon's wife, pointed me at this guy, Jim, and said, "Hey, Dave, this is Jim." And, you know, I'm down there working this finish line and getting people's their finishing bags. And, you know, I'll be honest, my mind is so far away from this podcast when I'm down there. I think it was last year or the year before I tried to get some audio. And it's really just too much to try to capture audio or interview anybody because you're kind of busy while you're tending to one of the finishers. You're kind of busy. You want to tend to their needs. And I just, you know, he said, you know, Jim from Burlington. And I just looked at him like, you know, who the heck are you? I wasn't even dawning on it. And then he said something about the podcast. And then all of a sudden, you know, my mind went immediately to a different place, and we chit-chatted for a bit. And he made some of the nicest comments about the show I just can't remember them verbatim, but he was just so kind and just said he really likes listening to the show. And I just remember thinking to myself, man, when I get home, I got to get a show out. Because it's people like Jim who make me feel really good when they say stuff like that and talk about how they listen to the show and they really enjoy it and they really like my tone and my demeanor. And I'm just not used to getting compliments. So I was very thankful. And Jim, I'm impressed. I believe you said that was your first 100-mile finish. And 21 hours, that's just incredible. So I would love to hear all about it. And if you're interested in maybe doing an interview, I interviewed Alex Flores some time back. But I really would like to hear what you thought of the course because I really think that's just a great venue for an ultra marathon. And it very well could be the one that I choose to when I have my first attempt at a start. So let's go to the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. I'm going to some of this stuff might be some repeats. So let me think for a minute here. All right, so we're talking with Kenny. This is the guy who punched the dogs. And I still can't quite believe that. The reason I'm keeping those pictures in the inbox is because I'm trying to figure out a way to get those on my get those on the website. So I'm going to skip up to the next one. Heard from Alex. He sent me a little video. He did the actually I got. I'm sorry. I'm a little disjointed. I got another email from Alex, which I'm going to go over. Let's just start with that one. He said. He's thinking about starting a podcast. Now, Alex has run, he did a 100-mile a couple months back, 100-mile race in Arizona. Arizona. I think that's where he lives. Yeah. And he says he has the equipment to start a podcast. He said in his email, "Oh, I heard you say it's finding the time. I was thinking if I did, would I do a show where I read my race report or short stories or adventures?" He says he used to write a lot, stories and poetry. He says that he's looked into the Podbean's website. He was just curious. If you got paid by sponsors, would you have to pay a percentage to Podbean? Alex, I have not figured out how to do that yet. I have communicated with Podbean saying I would love to have them insert ads either before or after the show if they want. And then that way I don't have to pay to store my show there. And I've never really figured out, never really got back to me. I'm not really sure how they're making their money because, I mean, I pay, I think, $9-some a month just to have that extra storage in case I was to do additional shows. I could, with the frequency I'm doing them now, I could probably just do it for free. But I would recommend that you try doing it. There's other platforms out there other than Podbean. I mean, for every one, there's, you know, 10 to 20 more places that do the same thing around the world. I mean, there's lots of people that do this stuff. But I would definitely try it out, and I will say that it takes a little bit to get going. But here I am, you know, episode 208, and I started this podcast in 2008, I think. Yeah, so I say go for it. You know, it might take you a little bit to get a following. You know, I get, like I said, between 400, 500 downloads for each show, and that's good enough for me. I'm not here to make money, although it'd be fun to make a little money, right? So, Alex says he's going camping, but his wife now prefers cabin camping. Yeah, so does mine. I like tent camping, as long as it's kind of near the car. I'm not really a backcountry type of camping person, although I do like hiking in the backcountry, which, as long as you can get out a day, go out a day and get back to the car and within the same day, even if it's dark. That's kind of hiking I like to do, and hiking trails are 2 hours from where I live. All right, so we heard from Dave Weaver out of Greenville, South Carolina, and he says that he said a mailbag entry from episode 206 referenced running with a weapon. He says, every time I run in the dark, I carry a golf club. The weight of the club is just half that of a standard water bottle. I carry this, quote, iron to deter loose neighborhood dogs from attacking me on my run. I've been approached multiple times by aggressive dogs, but they never get close enough to make contact with the business end of my golf club. Best regards, Dave in Greenville, South Carolina. Dave, that is a great idea, not to mention a much cheaper idea than what I was going to bring up, because I'd had an email about weapons before. And I'm going to put golf club for a good weapon, especially at night, I guess. And also, if you're going to run, anywhere where there are dogs. And this reminds me about we live near Highway 301, which is it's a single lane highway, but it's a major artery along the East Coast. It's kind of an alternative to Route 1 and Interstate 95. And there used to be, years ago, I used to be up and down that road a lot with work, and I used to frequently see a guy walking on the side of the road carrying a billy club kind of thing. And I just always wondered why is this guy carrying this big stick? And it's probably because you just don't ever know what you're going to encounter when you're walking along a highway. You got all kinds of freaks that are going through there. Golf club is a great idea. There's also a product called ASP, A-S-P. All you got to do is Google ASP or search it on your favorite search engine. You gotta check the laws in your state to see if they're legal. It's could also be considered what's called a spring stick. This makes your arm metal, and it makes it longer and hard. And of course, the golf club is gonna be longer than the ASP, but it's when it's not extended, it's a collapsible, extendable baton is what it is. And they would be great for dogs. And when it's not extended, it fits right in the palm of your hand, and it's but it's gonna be heavier than a golf club. A little bit heavier. It's probably about the weight of a water bottle that's full, because it's very dense metal. But that's another idea. Dave, good to hear from you. I really appreciate you listening to the show, and thanks for representing South Carolina on that. I think that's it for the email bag section of the show. I thought I would have had. Oh no, excuse me. I think I did hear from Greg Smith. Dr. Smitty, and he's doing I heard from him right after the last show went out. He's doing the Shamrock King Neptune Challenge, and that's this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. He's doing the, I think it's the 5K, the half marathon, and then the full marathon. And I think what the deal is, he's got to finish one of those races before the next one starts in order to get up to it. He's been doing a lot of running. We had a little discussion about wax rings with toilets. He says he switched to the rubber donuts that replaced the wax rings. He hasn't had any problems. He's switched out to toilet. If you wonder why I'm talking about toilets, it's because the last show was about home. There was a little section about there in there about home repair. He replaced the plastic flange on the floor with the metal one, and then now he uses the rubber donut. And yeah, I got to look into that, Greg. I hadn't done it yet because, there's no reason to pull the toilet up unless you got to make a repair. And so that's what I'm going to do next time I got to make that repair. I'm going to switch over to that rubber donut and check that out. Greg ran the Seashore 50K back in December. He finished in 4 hours, 42 minutes. His goal was to finish between 4:35 and 4:45, so it was awesome. And then what he did, right after he finished that, he picked up his race bib for the Surfing Santa that started at 4:30 that afternoon. He said the first mile of that race, he was so sore and stiff that he warmed up and finished a little less than 46 minutes. So for the day, he ran 36.1 miles at a 9:03 pace, and that gave him confidence for King Neptune, which is this weekend. And so I'm going to have to look that up, Greg, see how he did, or I'll send you an email to solicit a response on that. He's not going to be able to make the railroad run this year, which is on April 18th. And that's too bad, but we'll maybe get you next time, Greg. And I'd like to come down there for a race sometime. Maybe I can hit you up for a night at your house, and so I can avoid the avoid a hotel. So I'll pick something out, and it'd be nice to come down and see you and Stacy and the family, and catch up a bit. So I heard from Kenny, heard from Alex, Tim. Let's see, heard from Karen in reference to the she did the Keys Ragnar relay, and I believe that that was right after I got the last show, but unfortunately the font is too small in her email where I'm going to have to study that a little bit more. And I have to apologize for those that checked in with email and I have not responded to. I'm working on it. It's very difficult for me to sit in front of the computer for longer than 10, 15 minutes at a time. Because I probably have some disease where I just can't focus on something for a few minutes. So what we're going to do is save these for the next show. Let's see where we're at here. Well, due to some disorganization on my part, that is going to be the show for this week. I will be back soon with another episode of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. So this is Ash and Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.